Sing one more. Who has a choice? We know it works because it worked before. I'm replugging everything.
That goes on first.
Yeah.
I was on first.
Thank you.
times.
I can hold them here so it doesn't connect.
Yeah.
What's the name of the file? We know what the problem is.
Who was that?
Who said that? And I apologize. I should have
before I got any kind of a back
attempted.
One more request, and I hear a lady sitting there earlier.
Yeah.
185 in.
Okay, okay, brother, we're going to get started here. We had a, what you call a little computer glitch. So, well, I called on Brother Leonard Davis here, and he had prayer over Master Service.
Beloved Father, we come before thy throne of grace, thankful for the blessings, privileges, and opportunities of this day. Now, Father, as we come before thee in this season of vesper and meditation and devotion and dedication, we pray thy guidance and direction upon each mind and heart bowed before thee, that we might be prepared to receive your blessing from this service. We pray, Father, your special guidance and strength upon Brother Paul, that we may guide and direct our minds in this service. Now, Father, we commit our lives and this meeting into thy loving care. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
There might be a couple of seconds. You want to sing in the
middle? Yes. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For the year of miracles.
And, and the file is Phoenix 03. It's 04 though. I know. And I think this is it. Oh, that's a good, I should have done it that way. Okay. This was taken on Christmas Day almost 3 years ago. We're going to update it soon. And I just wanted to send our love from our family. Stefan doesn't live with us now. Brother or sister Aggie from Cluj lives with us now. Brother Victor Osanaki just moved out about three weeks ago. What we're going to do tonight, Saturday night, we're not going to get drunk with wine. We are going to be filled with the Spirit. We're going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to make melody in our hearts to the Lord, and we're going to give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? It says to be subject one to another in the fear or the reverence of Christ. And we're going to start off with my two favorite people here, and that's Nathan and Tika. This picture was taken when Nathan was a small kid. He's grown up now. It was about 2 years ago, right, Nathan, I think? Something like that. And we have a special hymn for you that we're going to teach to you, and you're going to be able to join with us on this hymn. Come on up, guys. Matthew's going to help us. And Ruth, where's Ruth? Ruth, come on up here. Go ahead, brother. You know, he called to him a little child. And Ruth, how old are you?
Five.
You're five? What's your last name? Your last name is Ruth? Okay, so you have two first names. And is this your sister? Ruth and Amy. And is Amy your sister? Amy? Yeah. Ruth, what's this a picture of? What do you think? It's a bird?
Yes.
That's good, because I'm thinking about a bird tonight. but it's a fish too. It's a large fish. It's one of those fish that Peter caught. Okay, I don't think I told them about that before. Do you want to hold that up for that? You know how old the guy was that painted that for me? 5 years old. How old are you?
Five.
You're five, buddy? Are you married yet?
No.
All right.
So, this is Mika, and this is Nathan, and they're homeless. They're not homeless. They're parentless, and Nathan, where's your dad tonight?
He's at a show,
and he's on himself the Bible. So he's on a television show tonight with Brother Jeff Mesra, and they're witnessing about the two salvations in Tucson, Arizona. And so that's why, and your mom's there too, right? What's your mom doing? She's the director of the program. And it's an hour-long program in Tucson every Saturday night. I think he's done over 200 shows, hasn't he? Something like that. Your dad gave, you know, after my talk and after Brother Jim's talk, your dad gave a better discourse than we did. So, we're going to sing Lord of Reality together. Are you ready, Ruth? Amy, you're going to come up here? And Matthew, come on over here. We want you to sing with us, especially in the chorus. Ready?
Lord of reality, make me real. Show me thy mighty word, great times to see. Impart your love to me, that I may be the person of reality.
Everybody sing now.
Lord God Almighty, take my hand, guide me on, let me stand. Strong and mighty, against the foe, teach me thy will, Lord. Teach me thy ways. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Help me to understand. To you I cling.
Help me to know reality. Okay, now everybody.
Lord God Almighty, take my hand, guide me on, let me stand.
Strong and mighty.
Strong and mighty against the foe.
Everybody
sing, we should know it by now. Lord of reality, help me to know when I should be your love to show. When life is not my own, then I can be a person of God Almighty, take my hand, guide me on, let me stand. Strong and mighty against the foe.
Thank you, and I'm glad that you thought that this was a bird. It kind of looks like a bird. And the next hymn, I just got back from Chicago, and I wrote this song over 20 years ago with my wife and sister Estelle Gill. I wrote the music, and they wrote most of the words. And
We wrote it for a man who was in the institution where Joyce and I worked. He had cerebral palsy. He was a prisoner inside his own body. His mind was perfect, but he could hardly talk. He could hardly do anything with his hands. He couldn't walk, of course. So we were leaving Ohio, and we wanted to leave him something special. We sang this to him just a few days before we left, and he had tears coming down his eyes. He was president of the Talking Book Society, but he just could not communicate effectively, of course, because of this disease. I thought about this after Michael and Ginger testified, because we want to sing this especially for Ginger tonight. And thank you so much.
Hey, Trent, how are you guys?
Oh, Matthew, can you say, come over here and say something for everybody?
Hello, Matthew.
Can you do that? I think Matthew's what, three? Almost three? Here, help us yourself.
I need a hug from you tonight.
Are you having fun this weekend? Some of your friends? Matthew gets to keep this pitch. I promised it to him this morning. I asked the bride, I said, if you come up here tonight, you can keep this pitch. And he said, okay. Do you think he's done enough? He gave me my hug for a day. That's all I need. Okay. So I'm going to go over here. Thank you so much. And no, you need to be here. I need to be here. And you can join with me on the very end. It's really nice. This is Brother John Harris's guitar. That is an answering prayer for me. Here's a story just for you, and it has a happy ending. All the tears it brings will turn to tears of joy. It's about a little bird who is different from his brother. Good thing at last, Jerry could die. And he longed to touch the blue sky and to glide among the stars. And he hoped one day to sing a happy song. Why, oh, why should I be different? Why, oh, why should I be here? Never soaring with the others the day long. And it seems like no one cares. No one took the time to love him. And the other birds were quickly passing by. They just didn't like to think that they had something in common with a bird who was a stranger to the sky. So they hid him from their faces, or they left him far behind, in a tree out in a meadow all alone. He would wonder if he'd ever see a brighter day. As he looked toward heaven, he sang his lonely song. Oh, his melody was sweet. It was pure, strong, and loving. And he was singing in the morning with the sun. And the sun every day
that the little bird would greet him. So he sent them what he shall for. Though he kept me from the heavens, there came a butterfly. Then he took that listen brightly and smiled. As she rolled it down to meet him, his heart was filled with hope, and her message shimmered in his song with joy. Now the men brought things out of a promise he was given. No more sorrow, no more pain, and no more tears. Here they now be flying with the others, and we'll see the land in white parade. Now this story just for you is the story of night. And we each walk for the day when we will find. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death and no more sin. Oh, we'll sing of him whose love has brought life. Everybody sing. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, and no more tears. For we'll sing of him whose love has brought us life.
The title of this vesper is The Test of Love. And this was the baptismal service you saw some of these before in October.
We had three sisters immersed in our class, and they're all natural sisters. If their father had that opportunity to baptize them, what a privilege. You know, the scripture says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in the truth. And it was quite a joyous occasion. I use this in my talk. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And a new commandment I give unto thee, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. So let our love be without hypocrisy. If anyone say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that loves God loves also his brother. So let the love of the brethren continue. Forget not to show love to strangers, for thereby you have entertained angels unawares. We're going to have four readings in a row on this subject. We're going to have the love of the brethren read by Sister Carm Fernetz, and then we're going to talk about attitude. Sister Vera is going to do that. The source of our severest trials is a reprint article. Sister Virginia Rawson is going to do that for us. And hereby we may know, Sister Janelle is going to do that for us. So in that order, you're going to come up here. By the way, these are leading sisters. I had one question after my discourse, and that was, could the leading brethren that Brother Russell talks about also be leading sisters? And I believe they can be, and that's maybe, and we've done that in our class. So have sisters stand up for 5-10 minutes and give an expose on a portion of truth. So, Sister Carm, you're first.
The point I would like to leave, especially in your mind on this occasion, the thought that I think would do us most good to carry away from this convention, uppermost in our minds, would be what? Love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. Yes, I am not meaning that you should not love others. I am not meaning that according to God's word, this is one of the highest tests of character development, love for the brethren. And it seems to be, dear friends, that this principle of love, which is the very essence of our Father's character, and which is the very test which will determine whether you will get into the kingdom or not, and whether I will get into the kingdom or not, this is the very grace of the Spirit upon which Satan will be sure to give us the hardest struggle and the closest test. I think the devil is always to be looked at in connection with our difficulties. In our flesh we have disorganized arrangement natural to us. Each one of us, each one has, and the devil seeks to work up these things that are natural to us, and through these stir up the fleshly things in us, like anger, malice, envy, hatred, evil speaking, works of the flesh and of the devil. Notice, of the devil. I told you so. Yes, of the devil. He started those works. It was through the sin that he introduced that all these depravities came upon us, and they become almost second nature to every human being who has not got selfishness that he needs to guard against, who has not the tendency to be jealous and envious, who has not some need of all these other evil qualities. Each one of us, I believe, because there is none perfect.
Attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and it is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. So it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. The source of our severest trials. But now, behold, the new commandment requiring a still greater devotion to the will of our Father and to the leadership of our Savior. The rule of righteousness is to be observed toward our Heavenly Father and toward all our neighbors. But toward the brethren of the household of faith, we are to do more than the right. We are to suffer. We are to sacrifice on their behalf and their interests. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, what a searching proposition this covenant of sacrifice is. How strange that it should be on behalf of the brethren that we should be expected to sacrifice, to lay down our lives. At first, someone might say, to sacrifice will be a very easy matter when it is done in the interest of the brethren, more so than if done for the world. However, experience shows that many of God's dear people striving to keep the first two commandments find it more easy to sacrifice time, influence, and strength in the service of the world than in the service of the brethren. somehow we are inclined to expect more from the brethren than from others, and inclined to make less allowance for the weaknesses in the brethren than in others. There seems to be no condition in which God's people are more tried as respects their spiritual graces than by one another, with one another. It is not merely theory, it proves itself out. All over the world there are class troubles. Truly, we read, the Lord will judge his people. And again, the Lord your God proveth you. Testings and siftings are coming on, and many of the dear saints of the Lord who have made a covenant of sacrifice with him do not seem to realize that these class troubles amongst the brethren are means which the Lord permits to test and to demonstrate the characters of his people, their love for him, his word, his will, their justice to all men, doing unto others as they would that they should do to them, and finally, their spirit of self-sacrifice in respect to what they will do for or bear from the brethren in laying down their lives for them.
Hereby we may know. It seems remarkable that the apostle, in pointing out one of the surest signs by which the Lord's people may know positively that they have been begotten of the Holy Spirit, says, hereby we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How strange that the love of the brethren should be the crucial test, as we have already pointed out in the studies and the scriptures, and as we may seriously fear, will be more and more manifest as we come down toward the consummation of our hope. As the apostle has said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is a personal matter. Each one of us is under this testing. If not yet, sooner or later, undoubtedly, this willingness to sacrifice in the interests of the brethren will prove each one of us either loyal, faithful to our covenant, or counterwise, unfaithful. Let us make this matter of love for the brethren and laying down our lives for the brethren a matter of personal study and of practical application to our own hearts, minds, thoughts, words, actions. And let us pray for one another, as well as exhort one another along these lines, striving to be filled with our Master's Spirit.
Thank you. Now we're going to sing together Through the Rock. Did you know, I mentioned this at a convention recently, but for some that didn't hear it, did you know that Brother Russell wrote forewords to the hymn books? And he wrote these, part of one paragraph I thought was very nice. He says, grand truths are made yet grander and more beautiful as smoothly and soothingly they flow in rhymes. For family worship, for social public gatherings of the Lord's children, nothing can be more profitable to them or more pleasing than united prayer and praise in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord from the heart. Let the music of God's good and great plan ring through your hearts and lives, dear fellow pilgrims and fellow members of the royal priesthood, so that every day, every hour shall be filled with joy and praise and thanksgiving. So, let's sing To the Rock.
Sometimes the shadows are deep and rough in the path to the door. And sorrows often they sweep like tempest down over the soul. Oh, then the rock, let me fly to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, the rock. Let me fly to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, someday long seems the day, and some the heavy might be, but toiling in life's dusty way, the rock lets its shadow outstream. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, let me fly. To the rock that is higher, higher than I. Oh, to the rock let me fly, let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I. Oh, near to the rock let me keep, or that a sorrow's prevent, or climbing a mountain way steep, or walking a shadowy bend. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, let me fly. To the rock that is higher, higher than I. Oh, to the rock let me fly, let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I.
One more time, Sister Sandra. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. Just the chorus. Oh, oh, then to the rock let me fly, let me fly. To the rock that is higher, higher than I. Oh, to the rock let me fly, let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I. I forgot to tell you that.
Wow.
We're going to have a men's trio come up, and we're going to sing Were You There.
Were you there when they Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Everybody, were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Were you there?
Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Were you there? Now we have a quartet. Don't go far, Matt. Matt was an answer to prayer, and Matt didn't come until today. And he did actually most of the hymns for us. And he's the voice of two of these.
Thank you.
I took this picture at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem in, I think it was 75, was that? No, 95, the, or 93. And Brother Owen Kindy gave part of the symposium there. And this was Brother Owen's favorite hymn. And he always liked the way I played it. And I play it differently. We do the first three verses and then the chorus once, and then the last two verses and the chorus twice. And I want you to shout, Hosanna. I want you to shout deliverance when it comes to that part, because that's what this hymn is all about. And Brother Larry's going to take us through.
Oh, God.
Everybody that helped me put this together, especially Matt, and Jeff Mesra too, who's not here, and all the singers, and all of you. I want to especially send our love again with Homer and Beverly next week to Ghana. Please do that for us and pray for you. I want to thank the Bujor family, Daniel and Lydia, for all their love and outpouring for the brethren. I want to sing one more hymn with you that you all know. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. This is one of the most remarkable time in my life was singing this in Poland at a public witness with a Polish choir. And we sang in English, and it was just remarkable. And so I want to sing it all with you. You all know, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
And maybe do that first verse by yourself.
That's great.
We'll do it together. Give me a break.
Swing low, sweet chariot, come and carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and carry me home. I'm so rejoiced that I
I'm
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this privilege of approaching Thee and giving Thee our hearts in song and in words and in singing Thy praises. Dear Father, we're so thankful for the blessings of knowing Thee and knowing our dear Lord and Savior. Please bless our evening activity. Be with us through our night's rest, that we may be refreshed and come together again with renewed zeal in our determination to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask Thy blessing to be with those that may have to leave us. Guide especially the Harris family as they come back tonight from their service. Be with them as in this witness effort. We long for Your kingdom to soon come for the whole world, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Now, I guess that's going to be up to you.
I'm trying to tell you, 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 I'm trying to tell you